You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 2nd of February, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today we're going to look at the latest in the anti-white education sphere, and this news comes from Brighton, which is probably Britain's premier homosexual city. It's well known for having a large portion of gay people that live there. It's very left-wing, and of course, as well as promoting homosexuality, which basically promotes the subversion of the nation, the weakening of the nation. The more people there are that are homosexual, the less people there are that are going to be producing children. They are also particularly anti-white there. Despite the population still being majority white, they're clearly self-hating whites. Children as young as seven are to be told they are not racially innocent. Under plans at a local authority, it was revealed today. And let's just reverse that. How would it be if we were to be telling children as young as seven that they were racially criminal? Can you imagine that? If we were to be telling a particular racial group that they were racially criminal, they were all criminal. I mean, that is effectively what is being said here. If you have one racial group which is being singled out and being told that they are not racially innocent, they're telling them that they are criminal. And don't forget, this is children as young as seven that are being told this. And of course, it's the white children that are being told that they are not innocent here. Brighton and Hove Council sparked uproar after unveiling its anti-racist education plans, with some parents pulling their children from the classrooms. And this is what this is being, this is the disguise that this is being carried out under. Of course, if you say you are anti-racist or this is anti-racist education, everybody goes along with it because nobody wants to be a racist. But in actual fact, what anti-racist education means is singling out white people and telling them that they're criminal and that they have been oppressing all the other races all this time. So it's not actually anti-racist, it's anti-white. If you really wish to be anti-racist, all you would do is you would advocate for the separation of the races. There could be no more racism if people lived amongst their own people. How could there be any racism? How can you be racist towards your own people? You can't. And it means that you would only be measuring yourself up against other people that were the same as you. You would actually have genuine equality there. You would actually have genuine equity there because you would be in amongst your own people. It would be impossible for there to be any racism. And of course, as nationalists, that's what we advocate for. And because of that, we get called racist. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous the way that this has gone. And of course, Brighton and Hove being extreme left, they're going for extreme anti-racism, which just means extreme anti-whitism, basically. It has now been accused of indoctrinating youngsters after pushing ahead with training teachers to improve specific racial literacy focused lessons. And again, let's put that boot on the other foot. What if we were to say, well, we want specific racial literacy focused lessons focused on white people? We want white people to become literate in their talents that they have as white people. Again, we would be accused of white supremacy. What they mean by specific racial literacy focused lessons is lessons that are focusing on race, that are focusing on perceived injustices of the black race, perceived injustices that they think have been carried out, perpetrated upon them by white people. And again, this is being directed at 7-year-old children who don't have any critical faculties, that are just going to be made to feel guilty and as if they're terrible people and as if they're the ones that are responsible for the problems that this other race has. And also, I mean, it's saying that these this other race, the black race, it's saying that they are somehow inferior, isn't it? It's saying that white people have to be constantly thinking about race, constantly thinking about how that they can even up these injustices. And it's saying that there must be a reason for that. There must be a reason why we have to make these exceptions. And of course they say, well, the reason for these exceptions is because you've been mean to them. But these 7-year-old youngsters, they haven't been mean to them. They haven't been mean to their classmates. And yet they're being told that they constantly have to be thinking about race to try and even these things up, because for some reason there's this uneven there. There's a disparity there that has been caused by their ancestors. Leaked slides shown to staff tell staff that children learn to attach value to skin colour when they are just 5 years old, with white at the top of the hierarchy and black at the bottom. I don't think that is true. I think people attach value to their own people. That's what is going on here. Clearly, a 5-year-old white child is going to attach more value to people of his own race, of his own ethnicity. We've done studies that show this, that children would rather be with people of their own ethnicity than they would be with people of another ethnicity. And surely that's just common sense. That is just the survival instinct. You instinctively know that you are going to be treated better by your own kind than you are going to be by another kind. And we don't really have to go far to find examples of this, do we? I mean, look at the white children that were kidnapped by the Red Indians during the Indian Wars, and look at how badly these children were treated. And yet they were children. They weren't people that had been fighting against the Red Indians. They just happened to be the children of the white man, and they were abused abominably by these red Indians. So you instinctively know that you're going to be safe around your own people. It's not about making value judgments on skin colour. What they're trying to tell these children here is that they for some reason they value the white skin colour as more than the black skin colour. And it's not that. It's that they value their own family more than they value the family of another group. And quite clearly, black children are going to feel safer amongst the black ethnicity. They're going to feel safer amongst people that look like themselves and that think like themselves. And it's not that there is a hierarchy, it's that we have European countries which were built by white people, and white people are the majority in them. So clearly there's going to be more people in that country that feel at home amongst whites than there are going to be people in that country that feel at home amongst blacks. So just by numbers, you're going to have a majority of people that value being white more than they do value being black, simply because of the demographics of the country. And what they're trying to tell, I mean, anybody who is an adult can work this out for themselves, but children just don't have the critical faculties to be able to. And they're the real victims in this. Another says there is ample evidence that youngsters are not racially innocent, despite this being the widespread view in society. And again, that will be based on these studies that show that babies, even 6-month-old babies, show a preference for being among their own kind. And the reason for that is because of the survival instinct. And yet the headlines talking about these studies refer to it as racist babies. And of course, they say that they've only done these studies on white children. It's only white children that wish to be with their own people. I'm sure that if they did a study on black children, they would see that black children also would rather be amongst black people. Staff were also told that Christianity had influenced the slave trade and portrayed its heroes as white, and that science upholds the status quo. So there's quite a bit to break down there. Christianity did influence the slave trade. The Bible is full of slavery. Slavery was the system of employment that we had in the ancient world. So the Bible is full of sayings such as, slaves love your masters and masters treat your slaves well. And basically the same as saying, employees work hard for your boss, and to the bosses, make sure you treat your employees well. So it's not that Christianity influenced the slave trade. It's that when Christianity came about, slavery was the system of employment that was around at that time. Now, later on, it was referred to when the abolitionists were trying to actually do away with slavery. People brought up the instance of it that it had in the Bible and said, well, look, this is Bible instituted. This is the system that they had back then. How can it be that bad? I mean, it tells you here to not to mistreat the slaves. It's even got instances of where of what to do if a slave doesn't want to be freed. If a slave doesn't want to be freed, he loves his master so much, he can put this special earring in and he can take on the master's name, and the master then has to look after him and his family forevermore. And what that tells us is that these slaves were not mistreated. They cannot have been mistreated if they put in a clause of what you could do if you didn't want to be freed and you wanted to continue to be a slave. It must have been because the masters treated them well. So when the abolitionists were trying to do away with slavery, the Bible was referred to here. But of course, it's talking about white slaves. What do you think Joseph was? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, wasn't he? Joseph of the multicolour dreamcoat. He was a white man. It's talking about white slaves. And at the time of Christianity, at the time of the Roman Empire, there were lots and lots of white slaves. We had white slaves in Britain. Apparently, the Pope, upon seeing the blue-eyed Britons on the slave stall when the Anglo-Saxons had actually enslaved the Welsh, it was upon seeing these beautiful blue-eyed blonde Britons that made the Pope say, well, we should go over to that country and Christianize these people. And that was his reason for wanting to send St. Augustine over. Apparently, he had forgotten that Britain had already been Christian for 500 years by that point. But that was his reasoning for doing so, was because he saw these Britons on a slave store. And it says here that Christianity has portrayed its heroes as white. Well, that's because it's accurate, isn't it? It's going to portray the people in the Bible as being white because they're described as having rosy cheeks, being fair, having blue eyes, being agrarians. Because we know when we look at the ancient civilizations of the Near East that they were clearly white people. I mean, they portrayed themselves. They built. They created sculptures of themselves. They created paintings. We know that they were white. It may be that in those lands today there are non-white people, but that is because people migrate, and that is because the people that were there ended up interbreeding with the non-whites, and they ended up turning themselves non-white. They had multiculturalism back then, just as they did today, and multiculturalism resulted in miscegenation, and miscegenation resulted in the white people that lived in that area no longer being white, and they turned into the Arabs that we see in those countries today. So it's quite accurate to portray the heroes of Christianity as white, particularly when you're talking about the Bible, and even more so when you are talking about the saints. So quite what they're trying to do here, they're trying to portray a false view of history to these children. And then it says here, science upholds the status quo. Well, science actually holds back the truth, doesn't it? And you end up with real scientists, people like Professor Edward Dutton, having to have YouTube channels because he actually brings on people that do challenge the status quo, and he can't actually do that in the universities, because if you are involved in science, you have to get funding for it, and you're only going to get funding for something if it upholds political correctness. What they're trying to say here is that the status quo is white supremacy, and that science upholds white supremacy. Well, if you go back 100 years and you look at racial science did uphold the view that the races were different to one another, and that was based upon facts, But we ignore all of that today, and we say that that was just scientific racism, and we pretend that everybody is all the same, and the only difference is a skin colour. And that's what's being portrayed here. They're trying to tell these children the only difference between these races is skin colour, yet at the same time, they have to see the other race as different and make exceptions for them to make up for the bad treatment of this other race in the past. They have to come out with some excuse or some reason for why it is that there have been different life outcomes for these peoples, why it is that Africa didn't have a civilization of its own. And instead of just saying, well, they didn't have a civilization of their own because they didn't develop one, because they are a different people, why would you expect them to be able to develop a civilization? Just because you're able to develop one with your people, why do you expect it that these other people are going to be able to? And instead of just saying that, which is just the common sense way of looking at it, they say, well, the reason why they didn't build a civilization is because we turned them into slaves. The horrible, mean white people turned them into slaves. And they ignore the fact that slavery, as I say, was just the system of employment of the ancient world. It continues and says that society is obsessed over the muscle size of black sports people rather than their white rivals. Well, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we just accept the fact that blacks are better at the sprint. We accept that blacks are better at basketball. We accept that they're better at dancing, better at drumming, better at jumping. And we accept that they're different. But if you say, well, white people are better at chess, white people are better at designing rockets, then you get accused of racism. And they're saying here that people are obsessing over the muscle size of black sports people. It's not so much the muscle size, it's the fact that they have a different physical form, don't they? They have different features, they have different proportions, which enables them to be better at certain sports than others, because you don't see black people doing very well at swimming, for instance. And the reason for that is because they have a smaller chest cavity, so they don't have such a space to hold the oxygen in there to help them float, and they have denser and heavier bones, which is why I believe 5 times as many black people drown in swimming pools in America as white people. Just one of the statistics that I picked up from watching The Jolly Heretic. Well, former Education Minister Sir John Hayes has blasted this training as sinister and called on the government to look into the plans. And again, they always say this. The government are always saying they're going to look into something like this. But the fact of the matter is, it has all happened under the watch of the same government. We've had the Conservative Party in power now for 10, 15 years, maybe even longer than that. And all of this has gone on under their government. They're the ones that promote diversity. They're the ones that promote multiculturalism. They're the ones that call for a tightening up of the speech laws. And this is where it ends up, where you end up with anti-white teaching in schools, trying to equalise different groups of people when they're not actually equal, because they are different groups of people. That's what is so ludicrous about this. These children are being told that they have to racialise everything, they have to think racially, and yet at the same time they're also being told that race doesn't exist, and that it's actually all it is just a skin colour. Well, if all it is just a skin colour, then why do we have these differences in the first place? Former Education Minister Sir John Hayes warned the Green-controlled authorities' plans looked like indoctrination, similar to that seen under brutal communist regimes. Well, that's good that he's pointed that out, and the similarity there is with communism, because all of what this is cultural Marxism. Originally, with Marxism, they wanted the workers of the world to unite and bring down the governments of the nations that they were in, and the workers of the world didn't want to unite, because the workers of the world could see what had happened in Russia and what had happened to the poor peoples of the Soviet Union. So they had a different think about it, and they thought, well, what we need to do is we need to encourage minorities within society, and we need to encourage these minorities to believe that they are being persecuted by the majority. And by doing that, we will be able to split up society. And they just decided that the first group that they were going to encourage to do this would be the blacks in America. So they set up their civil rights for black people, and they gave black people this grievance against the whites and said that they'd been mistreated by the whites, and that's why there was these different outcomes, and that rather than living amongst their own people, they should be demanding that they get to live amongst the white people, and therefore split up the unity of the whites. And once they'd succeeded with that, they then moved on to the homosexuals, and they told the homosexuals that they'd been mistreated by the whites and mistreated by the heterosexuals, and that they should be equal to them, and they should have equal marriage, and everybody should be taught equally, and homosexuality was equal to everything else, and give them a grievance against the people that they're living among. And once they had succeeded with that, they've now moved on to transsexuals, and after that, they'll probably move on to pedophiles. But it can all be traced back to Marxism and this communist idea, this idea of equality, that everybody is all equal. Even though this equality does not exist in nature, what you have in nature are hierarchies. Education Secretary Nadeem Zahawi has previously warned schools not to teach children that white privilege is a fact. And that's a large part of this. They say that white people only have what we have because we have this mystical privilege. We have our invisible white privilege knapsack that we carry around with us everywhere. And it's because of this mystical white privilege that we get jobs that we've worked hard for, that we are able to save up money, that we don't have such high criminal records as these other races. It's all just because we have this privilege. Of course, as nationalists, we say it's not down to privilege. It's just down to the fact that different people groups are different. Different people groups have different talents. They have different abilities. And these become reflected in life by different life outcomes. It's not that white people are privileged. And if you start telling poor white people, who in actual fact are the least represented now at university and the least likely to succeed in life, if you tell them that they have this mystical privilege, you're just going to incite resentment amongst the whites. I mean, all of this teaching does, it just incites resentment from black people against white, and it incites resentment from white people against their own people. And you just end up with a fractured society. That's where multiculturalism ends up. Brighton Council is the first in the country to launch an anti-racism plan for schools and said it was needed because of inequalities in society. But of course you're going to have inequalities in society, because to start with, you have different groups, you have different talents. Everybody is an individual. Everybody is different. Some people are going to be better at some things than others. So, of course, you're not all going to have the same outcome. And when you look at people groups, you can see that people groups themselves have different outcomes. And that is because they are individually separate people groups. Just the same as individuals are different, individual people groups are different. And that's why there is a difference in outcome. It doesn't mean that these people are any lesser or the other people are superior in any way. It's just because they are different. And when you try to make everybody equal, the only way to do that is to knock down the people that have more. And then you end up with nobody being exceptional, nobody being well off, because everybody is just all down at the bottom. It's like this government plan for levelling up. It's impossible to level up. All you can do is level down. All you can do is smooth things down until they are all even, so that nothing stands up anymore. And effectively, that means that all you have is mediocrity. You don't have any more excellence, because if somebody was to show excellence, then that would be unequal, and it would make the others feel as if they were inferior because this other one was showing excellence. So instead of targeting all the resources on the people that are most likely to be able to succeed, all the resources get targeted on the people who are least likely to succeed, and all the untapped potential goes just like that. All the potential of the people most likely to succeed is just wasted, completely wasted, because all the resources have gone on those least likely to succeed. In guidance issued to schools, the council reportedly said the training is required for all teachers. They are all going to have to go through this. It adds that key stages 2, 3 and 4 pupils aged 8 to 16 will need specific racial literacy focused lessons. You know, you think you go to school to learn the three R's. No, you now go to school to be given specific racial literacy focused lessons. Your children are going to school specifically to be told how wicked and evil white people are and how they should be doing everything they can to help out this other people group instead of helping their own people group. One slide shown to teachers during training says, between the ages of 3 and 5, children learn to attach value to skin colour, white at the top of the hierarchy and black at the bottom. And of course, if you are white, of course you're going to attach more value to your own skin colour, but not because of the colour of the skin, but because that is what ethnicity you are. Clearly, you're going to attach more value to your own family than somebody else's family. I mean, that is just obvious, isn't it? If you're a cat, you're going to attach more value to other cats than you are going to attach value to other dogs, because cats and dogs are different. The very fact that we have these different colours of skin, they are indicative of different ethnicities, and you're going to attach more value to your own ethnicity than to someone else's ethnicity. If you were to attach more value to someone else's ethnicity, it really wouldn't be long until your ethnicity died out now, would it? A separate slide shows a pyramid diagram containing acts that constitute white supremacy, such as the denial of white privilege and saying it was just a joke when a person of colour becomes offended. So it's now white supremacy to say, well, actually, I think that I have the things I have because I worked hard for them, not because I was just handed them all on a plate. And the reason why we have such a high standard of living in the West is because my ancestors worked hard to provide that. Apparently, it's all just privilege. We're all just handed this. We only have this because of slavery. This is this idea that picking cotton is actually responsible for the whole civilization of America. And again here, to say, well, it's just a joke when a person of colour becomes offended. Well, we used to be taught that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We used to be taught not to take offence. If you don't take offence, then you can't be hurt by anything that somebody else says. Just don't take offence at it. If somebody is being mean to you, then they're not a person that's worth bothering about, are they? Why would you care what they thought about you? The people you should care about that think about you are your family and your own people. Why would you be concerned what a representative of another people actually thought about you? I mean, it's daft, isn't it? It's like thinking that people in India would be concerned about what people in Britain thought of the people in India. The people in India are not concerned with that. The people in India are concerned with how their Indian brothers think of them, what the Indian people think of them. It's like President Lukashenko, when he was asked a similar question. What does he think of the fact that the other leaders in the EU don't want to speak to him? Well, he's, well, I couldn't care less. I'm the president of the Belarusian people, and it's only the Belarusian people who I'm concerned with. I couldn't care less what any of these other leaders think of me. And that's really the way that people should be. You should not take offence at what other people say about you. Only obviously if it's someone close to you and they've said something, then you might be offended. But what they're talking about here is a white person making a joke and a black person being offended. Well, a black person shouldn't be offended what white people think about them, because they don't know what it's like to be white, and the white person doesn't know what it's like to be black. It's impossible to. It's not something that you can ever understand. During the training, teachers were also told pupils must not be taught that race does not mean anything. Again, this is what we always used to be taught. Race doesn't mean anything. It's all just a skin colour. And now we're being told the opposite. This was because, trainers warned, we leave them vulnerable to concluding that white people must just be better. Well, white people are better at some things, aren't they? White people are better at chess. Black people are better at basketball. I mean, it's just the fact of the matter. Campaigner Adrian Hart, who has a son in sixth form in the city, has led a petition against the plans, which gained more than 4,000 signatures. And of course, we're told here that, you know, that white supremacy is such a terrible thing. And if one group is better at something than another group, then that doesn't mean that they are superior to that other group. It just means that they are better at that particular discipline than the other group, and I'm sure you might have the odd outlier in the other group that is also good at that thing, but when you're looking at averages, groups are going to be better at some things than others. And what they're saying here is that that's impossible. It can't, that cannot be. If the white people group is better at doing something than the black people group, it must be because the white people group stole it from the black people group. That's essentially what they're saying here. Campaigner Adrian Hart claimed that a parent has already withdrawn their 12-year-old child from a Brighton school because of the race strategy. He previously urged the council not to use critical race theory, which argues that race is a social construct used to exploit people of colour, into its plans. I mean, this is really going to incite a neurosis, isn't it? Yeah, this theory that's being taught is claiming that race is a social construct and it doesn't really exist. And yet at the same time, they're having to have special racial literacy lessons, which implies that it does exist and that everything is based on it. Instead, he called on them to adopt a more inclusive and liberal approach that he said would foster good relations between groups. Mr. Hart told a council meeting, "The invitation CRT issues to children is precisely that they should define themselves and each other as either victims or oppressors, according to their colour. Among younger children in particular, this will foster confusion, upset and division." Well, of course, that's what it's intended to do, isn't it? It's intended to divide people. It's intended to divide whites against themselves so that they cannot put up any genuine opposition to multiculturalism. He says, "Your choice of CRT is therefore a breach of the Equality Act, and specifically the public sector equality duty, the duty to foster good relations between persons who share a relevant protected characteristic and persons who do not share it." And that's good. I mean, this is what we want to do as nationalists. We want to foster good relations between people who share the same characteristics. That's what nationalism is. It means standing up for your own people, and it means supporting the people of other races and ethnicities who stand up for their own people. So we're not against these other ethnic groups at all, and we certainly do support the nationalists among them. Mr. Hart added, "We strive to offer children a politically neutral sphere where they learn how to think, as opposed to what to think." Well, that's what he would like to do, I'm sure, but that is not what is going on in the schools. They are certainly not politically neutral, and it is all about what to think, and they are not being taught how to think. Tory MPs have railed against the plans enacted by Brighton Council, saying it was similar to the indoctrination of children. Former Education Minister Sir John Hayes said, "This echoes the kind of indoctrination used by Maoists and Marxists. There is nothing more cruel than those with duty of care warping the minds of young children." And of course, I just point out again, well, the Conservatives have been in power for 10, 15 years. There's no difference between them and Labour. And this is the sort of thing that they promote themselves, isn't it? Diversity. We've got Boris Johnson talking about how proud he is of how diverse the cabinet is. And why would you say that unless you were putting the needs of these other groups ahead of the needs of your own group? And that's what these children are being taught to do. Sir John Hayes said, "I will be raising this as a matter of urgency in the House of Commons and expect the Secretary of State for Education, in defence of Brighton's children, to crack down on these militant extremists." Education Secretary Nadeem Zahawi has previously warned schools not to teach children about white privilege. Mr. Zahawi said late last year it was a contested view, and teachers who promote it risk pushing partisan politics on pupils. He added that political issues on race should be taught in a balanced and a factual manner. And I think that's what we do here at Radio Albion. We talk about these things in a balanced and a factual manner, and we make it clear that we are talking about things from the point of view of our own ethnic group. But that doesn't mean that we talk about these things in ways that are going to be offensive to other ethnic groups, or at least we try not to. He said, "Schools have a legal duty to maintain political impartiality when covering sensitive and complex issues." Brighton Council launched its plans in response to the Black Lives Matter movement, of course, when protests swept across the US, UK and many other Western countries. Its chair of Children, Young People and Skills, Hannah Clare, said training has been co-developed with people affected by racism and addresses the urgent need to tackle issues that have historically led to inequalities for people of colour. So, of course, they've developed it with co-developed it with people affected by racism, but have they developed it with the people that they're going to be accusing of racism? No, of course, they haven't included anybody that thinks that it's wrong, that white people are not racist, and that we do all we can to help these other races. That's why we have developed a system where something like this is able to grow in, is because we're doing our best to help these other races and ethnicities at the expense of our own group. And the more we do it, the more we get accused of doing the opposite. She added, education settings have confirmed that there is a need for this strategy and commitment to the work. It includes behaviour management, recruitment and retention of staff, and helping young people understand the complex issue of race. Miss Clare said feedback on the programme had been overwhelmingly positive. And of course, her feedback has been in this left-wing area, but it can't have been that positive if pupils are now leaving. And what is going to be the result of all this? Well, we know what the result of it is. You end up with white children committing suicide, and white children not wanting to create white children, and white children going on to miscegenate and thinking that they're doing a wonderful thing by interbreeding with another race and producing children for that other race instead of for their own. It's all very, very negative. It's not good for our nation, and it's certainly not good for these other ethnicities either, to be taught that they are victims and to be taught to blame white people for all their problems instead of being thankful to white people for all the wonderful things that we've done for the world and all the great things that we've actually given to these other races. That's what we should be being taught about, the positive things that white people have done. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.